offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Sarnam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Sarnam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I do vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are
here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that we record the Sunday groups and make them available for monthly donors. But what shall we look at? Ms. Cameron.
Well, I just popped out of a little period of being sort of removed from feeling connected. And what I am seeing, am seeing, is that life just kind of got busier. There were more things required to do. Mm-hmm. And somehow my attention got more focused in the doing and the result. And but that wasn't the problem so much as behind the scene, there was this unspoken sense that something is wrong.
So you're seeing that it wasn't even so much that the attention was on these other activities or mm-hmm. things that were being asked of you. That wasn't really the source of the disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
It was really this undercurrent of that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. And then that, before I saw it, before I sort of peeled the layers back and saw that's what was at the base of it, that sort of was fueling an energy in me that I needed to do something different, that I needed to get back. You know, it was almost like the veil that we talk about between. It's like I could see everything. I knew it was all there. It was just I was looking through this veil. Yeah. And I had to get on the other side of the veil rather than, you know, what we've been practicing is just to be with what is and to trust life, you know, that there's something there to experience.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, so let me see if I'm tracking. So in that feeling of something wrong, it feels like would you say maybe as someone, an identity that thought she had to get through this veil?
Yes.
That saw a veil that was separating you from, quote, life, let's say, and that was maybe the something wrong, and that she had to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing now in reality was that that wasn't necessarily so. Mm-hmm. It was just that what we've been practicing in the email class and all of that, which is just to see what is here, just to be fully with what is whatever is here.
Right. And as you reflected that, what I saw was you said the someone who felt there was something, the someone who felt she needed to get out from behind the veil. Was someone who had a preference for a certain experience.
Uh-huh. wow, that's big to see, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. And this experience of feeling kind of behind this thing that was keeping her from something she wanted to experience more than this experience really prevented her from accepting this experience and what life was offering her in this experience that was being interpreted as being behind the veil.
Yes, and we might even guess that that's someone, that ego identity, who says, I prefer that experience to this one. I prefer to be on the other side of the veil rather than this side of the veil. It really had no interest in ever being reconnected with life, if that was a true identity.
Yeah. See that as you're saying that. That person, that energy there was one who was believing in the world being divided into dualities, and I'm here, and this duality on the other side there is where I want to be.
Yeah, and quotes around all of that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's all a big made-up story.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a big made-up story. That there's a veil, that there's an I, that this is better than this, and that, and all of that is a karmically continuing story.
Right, yeah, it's all happening under the guise of practice within the paradigm of conditioning.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
Kind of the epitome of pseudo Zen.
Yeah,
that is all using all this stuff around practice, and it's all happening under the guise of practice.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing now is that really there was sort of this outer layer of that was really conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was kind of what kept it from being seen sooner than it was, because it had that guise. And it's just reigniting the commitment to just trust whatever is there, just to be with whatever is there and accept whatever is there as something that is being offered, and I don't know what it is, and it may feel uncomfortable to conditioning, but it's there, and so rather than trying to change it, get away from it, just be more willing to just be with it.
Yes, it's strengthening and reigniting the willingness that whatever is happening is absolutely okay. You can just be with that and accept that, and it's sort of a place of faith, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. Trust,
yeah,
faith,
trust.
Yeah, and and you know, underneath it all, I mean, I always was knowing that everything is okay, but there was that part that was saying, no, we have to get on the other side. You know, it's okay here, but we're going there, and the quicker the better, you know, kind of thing.
And I wonder if, because it sounds like that there was on some level a real watching of it all, even while it was happening.
Yes, there was, except what I'm seeing now is that the watching was kind of coming from within the paradigm. So there's been kind of a drop down into another place to look from is seeing kind of where all of that was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, I have to question that, because who's saying that? Who's seeing now from this more deeper place or whatever?
Yeah.
It's just kind of insidious, isn't it? It just can kind of keep rolling along in its own little
mud pot. It can kind of go in and in and in and in, or it can go out and out and out and out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we're seeing this. And the question, you know, that I like to kind of play with is, you know, who's the seer? Who's watching? Because there's the one who was saying, I prefer this than mm-hmm. that, you know, and feels mm-hmm. like an I, and they go, I did that, thought there was something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then there was the one who was watching that. Mm-hmm. And then here's the one who said, you know, who feels like, well, now we're sort of watching from another place.
Yeah, that's
that. And
yeah.
then there's a, you know, yeah. we can kind of expand and as we get like the sky, you know, as we get broader and broader into what we can
yes.
see.
Yes.
That within the.
Yes, and the seeing itself is what transforms it all.
Yeah.
And makes none of it wrong. Or,
yes, exactly.
Or right, really, either. Just
yeah.
kind of, well, okay, that's what's been going on.
Yep. And seeing it is just the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is kind of similar, I think. I've just been seeing how conditioning is the hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And any time you step off it, it feels really uncomfortable. But for me, that's how it's feeling for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like I'm doing something wrong mm-hmm. if I step off the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the message that it's got to give you, right, to try to get you back on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then... that I'm finding that everything that I want in my life is the opposite of what I've been taught.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you say more?
Well, just like with the content of, say, jobs, for mm-hmm. example. I never liked having a job. I hated going to work. I felt like I had to be there and I was tied down.
Yeah. Kind of enslaved.
But yet that's what I was taught, mm-hmm. was to do that. And you'd be fine if you did that. Well,
yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and so to look at what that looks like without having a job
mm-hmm.
is scary and uncomfortable.
To the conditioning that believes the job
yeah.
is the way to happiness, or
yeah.
says it does anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you're scary and uncomfortable, you should just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Like just keep putting more speed to it, you know, accelerate it.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
It's that quote, that Winston Churchill quote, when you're going through hell, just keep going, or something like that. And,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just go, get through it.
Yeah. So it's just really, you can talk about it, and then you do it, and it's like, ah.
I know. It's a totally different thing when it's a theory.
Exactly.
And when you're like, when, oh my God, I'm off the wheel, and this life, the life is shaking.
And especially when, you know, I project other people's judgment, or, you know, it just kind of conditioning just kicks that up. Like, it just starts projecting all over the place. Like, what are they going to think of you? And what is this? And what's going to happen here? And, you know, it's just all this, then
yeah.
the activity just starts in the
yeah.
head, and you're just like, whoa, like, I'm just going, just drop it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting the image of like this machine, the conditioning machine, that, you know, you've taken some big significant bolts out of that machine with your actions of late, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of shaking, you know, and it's on the verge of falling apart, and just, you know, disassembling. And that's, and it, I don't know, I project that it might be comforting to realize that that's what that discomfort is. That's all that that discomfort is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a part that feels really fun and adventurous,
yeah.
and then there's the other part, you know, where you wake up in the morning and you're just like, what the heck am I doing?
I know. Oh my God.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
This. You know, I'm going to get, I don't know, it just tells you everything.
Yeah.
What if this happens? And that's how the world's living. You know, most of the world's living is out of that fear of preventing something from happening.
Yes. Yeah. It's easy.
Trying to prevent something from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's the scenario. There's the human that's experiencing all of that. All of that.
Yeah.
And who we are is the one, or is that which holds it all,
mm-hmm.
you know, and can, it's so interesting being a human being, isn't it? To where we can feel it and hold it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, with practice, I think you can hold it.
Yeah, exactly. That is the assumption I'm making there. Because there's a lot of human beings that don't, that I would project can't have that,
Yeah, and it's so true that all we have is the moment. And whatever we bring to the moment is what we get.
Yep.
You know, and it's, conditioning is trying to push us into the future or regret the past or whatever. Yeah. And it's just right here, right now is all that you have to think about. You don't even have to think about it. You're just here,
Yes.
You just be there. And and that's what this is teaching me. It's just, I can look out at the colors out there in the garden and just be, my heart just jumps, It's like, wow, that's what, that isn't thinking or worrying. And it doesn't really matter what happens.
And that's the only thing that's real. Everything else is just not even real.
So it's just that workshop of, just to be always, as you were talking about, expanding. And to do those things that are most uncomfortable. That it's okay, that's just what the mantra that I keep giving myself is, this is okay.
This is okay.
Yeah.
This is okay.
I'm here with you. It's okay. It's all going to be fine. Just keep going.
Yeah. And keep looking at those colors. And watching those squirrels. And
play.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Jim.
This image just popped in of, the place of trying to stop something from happening. And it's like, no, it is happening.
Uh-huh.
And that just, that incredible acceptance of that, that opens up, I just have that image of, the ship is sinking. And just like, pulling the sails tight and holding back, my ship is sinking. Uh-huh. of course it's sinking.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how else is it going to end?
Uh-huh.
It is going to sink.
Yeah.
So sail it.
Or do whatever you want to do while it's sinking.
It truly is. It's such a huge place, that acceptance of, no, we're not going to stop life from happening.
Yeah.
And why would we want to?
Yeah.
Really. Truly, it's one of those things where, at least this is true for me, we say it all the time. No one lives in the same universe as me. We're all going to die. All those things. And it's like, But of course, we don't live that way.
Mm-hmm.
On a moment-by-moment basis.
Mm-hmm.
There really is this, I was recording about that this morning, awareness practice is not self-improvement.
Yeah.
But how much of the time that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Make this person better. Make the ship better.
Yeah.
Make it so it won't rock, it won't sink, I won't have to feel those ways that I don't want to feel. I'll get to feel all the ways that I want to feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just a persistent denial of what is so.
Mm-hmm.
No, but if we did this or if we tweaked that or if we just, if I could just, and get that improvement mindset, out of the way, then we can be with whatever is.
Yeah, and missing that it's all sailing the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Even that process, yeah. So I'm sailing the ship, and sometimes that's like that just singing in the storm is available.
Yeah.
And sometimes terrified. Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
mm-hmm.
my ship is sinking. But that's right too.
Yeah.
That's just part of the deal. It's just part of what goes on.
Yeah.
And that what was it recently I was talking about? I was talking about sort of what I spoke about last week when Sherry was here, but that place of training, getting it, that everything we're doing is training,
mm-hmm.
And I was hearing myself say recently this sense of like, there are these places where it feels like more what's going on is survival mm-hmm. than training.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
So the analogy would be there are times where there's a huge storm and the ship's being thrown all over the place and the story overlaid on it is all that's happening there is survival.
Yeah.
But who says that's not part of the training?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Who said, because in the training mode, we take whatever our trainers give us. Mm-hmm. If we're in training, hey, I'm in, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be trained. Give it to me, whatever I need, life.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, feeling like survive, I've got to survive. If it's mm-hmm. feeling like I've got to self-improve for a while, mm-hmm. if it's feeling like I'm just swimming along and cooking and, you know, whatever it is, I'm up for the training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Including that there are times where it feels like, I don't want this.
Uh-huh. Including that, yeah. Including just wanting to go yeah. home somewhere.
Reminds me of the first conversation of that sense of, it's all, the trusting the unfolding process, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just trusting that unfolding process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as you're saying, or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and there's a way, to me, that's the thing I've always been, the Jesus and the barcode, I've always been fascinated by.
Jesus and the what?
And the barcode. You know, so that place of, wow, you don't know this one. It's new. I think it was came from, Sherry was in a parking lot one time and saw a bumper sticker on a car that was a barcode, you know, like on a cereal box or something. And I was like, well, that's, what a funny bumper sticker. You know, it's a barcode. And looking at it long enough and seeing that if you look at it a certain way, it says Jesus.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then it flips back to be a barcode.
Yeah,
and then it flips back to Jesus, and then barcode, and then Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And she talked about standing there long enough to be able to see Jesus and the barcode.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that's that amazing place of like being in that, I don't want this, and trusting that that's life unfolding. Perfectly.
Yes, that is so it. So seeing the, I don't want this, and also seeing the willingness. Mm-hmm. And again, it kind of goes back to what we're saying about being the sky. To be in the place where both are held, fine, accepted, mm-hmm. whatever the word would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the last piece of it was, I really resonate with that, the piece in the last conversation about like, what are they going to think? What's going to happen there? And that person's going to think this and that. And how much, what I've seen about that for me is that in that, it's like ego's using, quote, other people to keep the identity in place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So it's like, little this way, little that way, little this way, little that way, little, you know?
Yeah. As long as we're checking in, sometimes we check in with ego directly, mm-hmm. sometimes we check in with ego via projection, mm-hmm. what they're going to think, mm-hmm. but it's all designed to keep the identity mm-hmm. in place.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure it just stays within the
yep.
the bounds of
yep.
me.
Yep, make sure there's that I.
Yeah.
Okay. Tracy.
The last couple of days I've been kind of, I would almost say stewing in gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been washing over me and through me for my time here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to the point where the gratitude was so big, I could almost not contain it.
Yeah.
And the sense of the structures, that there's still that just sort of internal representation of the person, and that structure's starting to push out and break down, kind of make holes. There are holes in the structure because the gratitude is too big for that structure.
Yeah.
And sitting here today, conditioning was wanting to come in so much to itemize all of the things I'm feeling grateful for. Mm-hmm. Wanted to go to like a checklist, mm-hmm. a laundry list, and just sort of do this whole survey.
Yeah.
And I had something that the personality would have been very inclined to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, write it out and you know, make a thing.
Manage it.
You know, manage it. Yeah. You know, and then there's a label, and there's an event, and there's a person, and there's an experience, and there's a teaching, and then there's a thing that's attached to this sort of fairy dust of gratitude, although it's denser than that.
Yeah.
And I had this sensation sitting on the pillow of a mentor coming and wrapping her arms around me and just holding me and saying, no, you can't have this person. She's just going to stay in that experience. You can't have her.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't have any words.
Yeah, really, it does. It leaves one just in that, that the mighty force of that gratitude was preserved, was safeguarded, was allowed, held.
Just held so, just so powerfully.
Yes.
And tenderly.
And powerfully and tenderly.
Powerfully and tenderly.
Yes. With this human as her sole number one only concern and priority. No, this human gets to have her experience.
Gets to have that experience.
Her life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, tenderly and powerfully, and, you know, it's so adept, like it's nothing for that mentor. It's nothing. There's so much power there that it's the conditioned force that tries to come in and disintegrate, though, it's just nothing. When we get those glimpses of really just how powerful life is, it really does, it sort of washes over us and just leaves us breathless and speechless and washed in gratitude.
And the trust.
Yeah.
You know, that sense of surrender.
Yeah.
And it's just complete surrender to that force of kindness and love and care and connection and gratitude.
Yes, all of it, all of it. I don't know if you express it like this, but for me it's like, it's such a right perspective. Right perspective.
Oh.
You know, it's like the word, it's like we get it. We get really what it is, that, okay, this is powerful. This conditioning is not. And we get it, you know, in a way that we can never not unget. You know, we can never you can't unsee that, you know?
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's really true. That really puts all that nattering crap in a very different perspective.
Yeah.
And thank you for that reflection. It doesn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
In that place,
yes.
In that place,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Scott.
These are really nice images this morning. Kind of nice just to be in those and experience those images. So I think for a good year and a half, I've really just been hearing Sherry say over and over, drop the conversation and get here, drop the conversation and get here, and watching kind of the resistance to that, and kind of this still kind of holding on to, but I really need to see what the voices are doing in order to let go of them, right? And then in the current Joy email class, there was an encouragement, you know, for the next classes, you know, 5 through 8, can we not talk about the voices? And I was like, amen to that, you know? Such a great reminder.
It sure is.
And so I guess I just had a nice experience of all of that, the Sky class, and just that place that a lot of participants were referring to, just that openness and the expansion and the aliveness, and for me, just all the sensory details that start to come through that are apparently always there. Yeah,
apparently.
Not always available to. And so I was just in this, like, you know, just that vibrating energy. And then I noticed, and the body felt really relaxed and open and like, bigger.
Yeah.
And then it was really in that place, it was really highlighted there was a tension in my upper stomach, a familiar one, but sort of like an unquestioned one. Uh-huh. Like, that's just part of being alive and getting things done and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm gonna let the tension talk. Mm-hmm. And I turned on the recorder, and it was like this sub-basement level 5, just like demonic, hateful voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate you, I'm gonna kill you, and it was like, whoa.
And I was just taking you for granted.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, okay. And, you know, just, it was really clear just to listen to it enough to know what it was and then to not be speaking that anymore. And then that tension just went, just unraveled. It was completely gone. The voice was gone. And then that part of my body expanded too. And it was like, oh, that's why the encouragement is always to get here. That could only occur here. Because I always want to go in the other route, which, oh, there's a tension. Okay, I got to get on the record. I'm not really here. I'm in a process of trying to change something.
Yes.
Maybe people were talking about before. Like, yeah. That's a resistance process.
Yeah.
Not a relaxing your upper stomach process.
So there's an awareness. So there's a sense that there's this sensation. And what may be kind of the habitual way is to then whoop, go up into the head. And okay, so maybe I need to record about that, or maybe I need to, and basically it's something talking about the sensation.
Yeah.
But what you did instead was just moved into it. Basically would put your attention on it to explore it. Instead of talking about it, you went to it and let it talk.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Long enough to see what it was, and then let it go.
Yeah. And I think the big piece is I stepped into life to do that. And life was guiding that whole process. Because I didn't have a problem with, there's no stomach, okay, I'm gonna look at the sky. That's not how it worked. I was just doing the class assignment, I got present, and then in the presence, that little knot was just, you know, it's like the sore thumb was just glaring in that place.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just move the attention. And in awareness, you know, all things that aren't real just get undone.
Yeah.
But I didn't, there was no trying to do any of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't my plan. I was really enjoying just the awareness experience, and then that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so funny, because it's just so counter how we're taught how to handle something.
Yes.
I mean, that is that faith of, I'm just going to trust coming here and whatever needs to happen.
Yeah.
And in this case, hey, I'm going to give you a little release here if you're willing to go along with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it you know, what's dropping in for me is it's just doing the work, doing the exercises, you know? There's not an I that's doing it.
Yeah.
There's not a, you know, self-improvement or figuring out or any of that. It's just just pure training.
Yeah. And it's fun, because I think that's the exciting part, actually. If we just commit ourselves to getting here.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything else will be taken care of.
Yeah.
The little tension, the little worry, whatever that stuff is that we hold on to, will get taken care of in a way that we can't even imagine.
Yes.
I mean, the eye can't go, could never really figure out that stomach thing and get it undone.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't, yeah. It's just that trusting, come here and life will take care of everything.
Well, and we can project in life's perfect time.
Yes, exactly.
Because if that stomach thing has been there, like maybe all your life, or at least your adult life, it's felt like it's just such a part of you, that in whatever circumstances and timing that life has, you know, that is, that was the time for it to be seen and dissolved.
Yeah.
And it was just the no deed there is, no doer thereof, but it happened in all that.
Yeah, I just want to say it again, I just said it, but I want to say it again, that's the fun part, is that I don't, I don't know how it's going to happen or what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You just show up, and you're right, like, maybe another time I show up and something else happens.
Yeah, that you couldn't have predicted.
That I couldn't have predicted, or even knew it was a place of restriction in the body, or, or something holding the being back.
Yeah.
You know, and then I just get to, you know, the joy of intelligence, knowing it just gets to watch it happen. It's like, whoa, cool, you know, wow, how did that happen?
It's sort of like what we were just talking about. I'm in somebody's hands here, it feels like, you know. It's like something's going, you know. It's hard, the language is tricky, but it's because that is kind of who we are in a way, but it is the fun part is that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every day is Christmas, and we don't know what we're getting for Christmas. You know, it's like, but this is it. Oh, and then this is it. Oh, and now we get this.
No, I really did like that image of that being held, you know, because it's just sort of, you're just safe to do, you know, it's almost like kind of what the meditation guy does. You know, they guide the meditation so you can just completely relax in the meditation.
Yeah, precisely.
You know, so here we are in the monastery, and you can just completely relax in the life because the monastery is kind of holding you. You know, and then the bigger it is, you can just completely relax because life is holding you always.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best deal.
It is the best deal. Thank you.
Yeah, Siobhan.
I was walking with the mentor yesterday, and the mentor said, "Nothing bad will ever happen to you." And I stopped walking. Mm-hmm. And what dropped in was a quote from A Course in Miracles that says, "Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Mm-hmm. Therein lies the peace of God."
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the recognition that there is nothing that is so bad that that I can't experience it.
Yeah.
The same thing is that there's nothing so good that I can't experience it.
Yeah.
You know, that everything, and even watching my friend Lynn die, which I would say is a bad thing, that that she was adequate to her death.
Yeah.
You know, she never died before. You know, and I'm projecting in this incarnation, you know, that and she did it.
Yeah.
Like we do everything, you know, in life. And and there's something too about the impersonal nature of karma,
mm-hmm.
and everything that does happen, that it that there's some spaciousness around that and some relaxation, because I don't know why I have the particular karma,
mm-hmm.
you know, that appears in my life. I told my husband when I was despairing this fall that I feel like I'm failing at my assigned karma. You know, that I'm just not overcoming it,
mm-hmm.
would be the thing. You know, like was said earlier, that there's some sort of self-improvement agenda going, that, okay, so, you know, here's this conundrum that I've been given.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, mine to work with, or mm-hmm. or whatever. And there's an envisioned successful outcome to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that that won't continue to occur,
mm-hmm.
and I've watched as certain processes do continue to occur,
mm-hmm.
and there's something that was said in group one night that was really helpful in that this. Awareness is the container in which all of it is happening.
Yeah.
Right? So, so yesterday, I even wrote on my hand, "Record insight," because I thought of something that was going to be like the unified theory of why I couldn't quit doing this particular process.
Uh-huh.
You know, something in the email class kind of triggered this insight,
uh-huh.
So I recorded the snippet,
uh-huh.
listened to it over and over, and just kind of felt my energy just kind of drain out, and all of a sudden I couldn't quite grasp that theory, you know, that insight.
I cannot.
Right, yes. Right, and then all of a sudden, you know, what I saw the process that it did was that completely diverted my attention, you know, from what I had been sort of practicing with in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, it just took that down. But I was really happy to see that is what happened. But just that today I'm practicing spaciousness.
Yes.
And realizing, I think that there's a reason why I'm so attracted to vista points, you know, where you can see, because that triggers resonance in me of the vastness that exists inside, is just to see it out there. It's like I imagined that I became like this really thin film that just sort of like a gauze draped over everything that I was seeing so far away, that it just opened everything up in that way.
Yes. Wow. And that in that process, that so what you're describing is just such a perfect picture of practice, because it is that expansive, you know, we can see it all, have the insight that really is everything, and then the contraction happens, and we go, okay, so let's capture this, let's record it, let's get it, and then I can feel, and then there's the expansiveness again, once you realize, okay, that sucks the energy out, that drains the energy. And so then we come back, and then, you know, so it's just that process of expansion, contraction, and it just seems to be the way it is until it's not.
That's exactly right. Until it's not.
Yeah.
You know, so that I would say, why not enjoy it?
Exactly, you know? Because we don't really know that it's ever not. And part of what the contraction that you identified, it sounds like, is that there's this the story that you're failing at your assignment of expanding. Basically, it's like the judgment of that process is what, in a sense, causes some of the contraction, right?
Yeah, by creating a problem.
By creating a problem.
So then the focus narrows into the problem.
Yeah.
And then
you have an experience like being with your friend Lynn, who died, to see the expansiveness, see the adequacy, see the ultimate okayness of everything. Yeah, it's just that movement all the time.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong at all.
At all. Nothing can hurt.
No, because nothing, and it is true. I mean, that's a helpful thing for me to hear, is that nothing real can be threatened. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. And nothing unreal exists.
Yeah. Because I think you started with the mentor, the insight that nothing can ever hurt you, because there is no you.
Right. Yeah, there's that untouchable nature of what we truly are.
Yes.
Is that I can't be damaged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would be damaged?
Right.
Yeah.
Rebecca? Yeah, can I just do a quick guideline reminder that we're asked not to rub things against the earth walls?
Oh, yeah.
So either your resolve is sitting on those, so you can lean against redwood posts or back decks, but just to make sure that your pillow is not against the wall.
Yeah, thank you. We'll make chunks out of our wall. Or even little chunks out of the wall.
Going up against karma. I just wanted to put my hands up in support of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just aware that there's support that could be. I could avail myself of support right now, which is, you know, usually that's like when my karma is to kind of pull back, and I'll put my hands up when I have figured out
that's what's been going on.
And I could see though that to leave this morning and not put my hands up is would be. In support of that system.
Reinforcing.
Reinforce that. Yeah.
which we don't want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in support of just, you know, communicating from this here now.
Yeah.
To just kind of
say what's going
play
on.
With that a bit and to practice that, just saying, you know, what's going on. And actually, I woke this morning and it picked up one of the cards from the deck, I forget mm-hmm. what that's called, but you know, and it was abundance. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that arose for me is just the gratitude for the abundance of having a group mm-hmm. like this on Sunday morning to go to, mm-hmm. To be supported in that journey. That's
yeah.
It's mm-hmm. rocky at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to choose something different than karma.
Yeah.
And it's probably not an accident too. I saw that I had been practicing. I saw that I'd been practicing in my getting up in the morning. I'd been practicing what needs to be done, and what was the other thing? Anyway, things that really I didn't want to be practicing, you know. It was like, I saw that there was a possibility to practice being lit up. I thought, you know, like a little kid when they wake up and it's like, God, what's you know?
Yeah.
What's next?
Waking up into like this excited possibility instead yeah. of a wake up into a great big to-do list.
Yeah, right. And to maybe like wake up and go do something that was coming from that place of lit up.
Uh-huh.
Rather than waking up and going, okay, let's see now.
I gotta
make my bed and then I gotta, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, stepping into that process of being lit up mm-hmm. and practicing that, and I could see that it's not even so much the content mm-hmm. of what I've been doing with the mornings, mm-hmm. it's just that whole attitude of, so I just was handed a lot of opportunity to, it's just like like the bowling ball got sent down the alley, like, okay, you want to practice lit up, here, try this and try this, and you know, it's just just a lot of challenges
uh-huh.
faced me this morning
uh-huh.
that was like, oh God. And the conversation this morning has been really good because, yeah, what started to go on was like, gosh, I'm failing at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, I should be able to take these things that are happening with being lit up, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, the story that if something is challenging and hard, it means that you're not handling it well, and you should be able to go to lit up in a moment at will, but and without point with you know that story. So that story goes on without pointing out that okay, I pulled a card, mm-hmm. I read it, I raised my hands, I'm participating. You know, it doesn't ever show that side of the story.
Yeah, and I was seeing that too. You know, it wasn't meeting a conditioned standard of what lit up would be. But, you know, she got up, she didn't feel like singing this morning, you know, and she sang a song, and she didn't feel like dancing much, but she danced, you know, and it was like doing all those things that God, it just tries so hard to keep her from not doing.
And not seeing
and
that
not
she's
seeing
doing.
That she's doing it.
Because in that way it can control the narrative that she's failing. When the narrative is clearly not that.
Yeah. So, I just put my hands up in solidarity.
Well, and it's like, not only in solidarity, but at one action, one solidarity action in a long line of a lot that have already happened.
So,
I mean, just to really take that in and recognize that
boy, what an incredible string of taking in the abundance of practice, of taking in, really exercising it,
yeah,
in the face of a lot of opposition.
Yeah. And, you know, just as we've been talking about this morning, and to just remember that it is a hero's journey, and that every time that we're in an occasion like that and we choose to put our hands up, or we choose to, you know,
same way we don't feel,
it is just making it's just chipping away,
yeah,
at that, mm-hmm, at that karmic orientation. And it may, what's arising for me to remember is that, it's those little actions that
consistently and consistently over time.
Yeah, because there's definitely a big belief here that it's going to be like some big ba-boom, you know, like, oh wow, I did it, I broke through,
yeah,
you know, and then it's and that's probably the other trick, you know, to not to be looking for the big ba-boom,
uh-huh,
and to realize that no, it's these little tiny turns,
yes,
little tiny choices.
Mm-hmm.
To let go, to be present, to be supported.
You know, and for me, there may be a big baboon someday, who knows? But the point is there's no preference for it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, there's just no preference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I so enjoy the heroism of this person who dances when she doesn't feel like dancing.
Yeah.
I so enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that little, if we want to call it a little, you know, thing that is just as clear a picture of heroism as whatever big thing might happen someday, you know.
Yeah. I can see that, because that wanting, you know, that's like some kind of, you know, going for some kind of goal.
Precisely.
It's the carrot,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yeah, that's what that preference thing sets up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. And I did. And I, you know, as I speak, I see all those, a lot of little choices that were made, you know,
mm-hmm,
throughout the night and the morning and all of that, that were like choosing love.
Yeah, choosing love,
mm-hmm, instead of the other system. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you. Yes.
Thank you.
Anna.
I just so love the support of hearing all of the ways we can practice letting life tell the story of how we're practicing and showing,
mm-hmm,
up.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there in the first email class, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah, that's right.
If ego tells the story of our spiritual practice, it's about exposure and humiliation and failure and defeat. And yet we live in an experience of ego projecting onto life, which is loss, lack, and deprivation. And just to let life
tell that story
and say, thank you, human, for showing up so wholeheartedly,
mm-hmm,
you know, being such a fun aperture to be with, you know,
mm-hmm,
just,
mm-hmm,
thanks.
Yeah. Just you and me, kid, we're in this together. Thank you.
Yeah. And I've been seeing so much in the, you know, there's no moment that doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
How can we show up wholeheartedly for everything we're doing? And a lot was arising around that, around hearing the guideline that when we come in to sit, we sit with our hands in the meditation posture as soon as we sit down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sit with our hands on our knees. And what I've been seeing about that and like feeling the bones is that when we come in to sit and have our hands on our knees, it's a posture of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a posture of I'm going to be ending suffering as soon as that bell rings. As that bell rings, I'm going to give it everything I've got. Just you wait. I'm going to really go for it. Until then.
I'm on break now, though.
Right. So there's the... it's like being in preamble, being in the preamble to ending suffering, instead of choosing every moment counts. In this moment, I'm choosing life over ego. In this moment, I'm ending suffering, and this, and this. And also seeing that that hands on the knees is kind of like an ego posture. It's like a posture of when the bell rings, somebody's going to tell me how I should be sitting, and it looks like this. Until then, I'm going to have this little bit of time where I get to sit how I want, in quotation marks, right? And it's like a looking to condition mind for how do I want to sit? Oh, this feels good.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, oh, it's like this came up recently, that we have structures because if we don't, we look to condition mind to see what to do, and, you know, we're dangerous when we do that, and, and we're simply not ending suffering when we do that. And so it's that structure of coming in and sitting like you mean it, sitting in a way that's, you know, choosing being here, not choosing the waiting, not choosing the ego, looking to condition mind to see how I want to sit. Yeah, it's just so fun.
It really is. It's that, it's because when we're unconscious, it's sort of what we've been talking about, that we are dangerous when we're unconscious. No matter what the setting, it's the fact that we're unconscious that makes it, you know, we're just not here. So whether we're in a hall just kind of sitting like this with our hand, or, you know, or out driving a car unconscious, or whatever we're doing unconsciously, and following the structures is what it, let's see, what am I trying to say? The point that I think you're making is that it's the structures and our conscious consciousness in following them keeps us in that place where we're following life and we're not following the kind of the deadly voice of the conditioning, even though we don't always realize that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
Right. It's truly like a what are we practicing?
In each moment.
In each moment. Mm-hmm. And there's no moment that doesn't count. And it's like I've heard Sherry say, you know, that we practice looking to ego in a process that looks small, and then the content builds and builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
Because we're practicing that process. And it's like, if we're practicing having that, like allowing ego that little bit of territory before a sit, then it's practicing, giving a life to ego, even though it might be a couple of minutes.
Yeah, there's nothing innocuous about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's practicing sitting in the ego posture is not good practice for being awake later.
Right. And it's back to that. It's not we will end suffering. It's that in each moment, suffering is more important than anything.
Yeah.
We are ending suffering. And so, you know, I come into the hall and I'm choosing ending suffering now and now and now.
And now. And this moment matters too.
Right.
And this moment counts too.
Not waiting for the bell. So, it's a really fun exploration.
Very good. Very fun. Thank you. Maybe we have a couple of minutes.
I just wanted to put my hands up and participate and just appreciated everything that occurred this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so helpful. Just everything kind of gives me a new lens on what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I've been looking at how a sort of a chunk of karma was revealed, and I had insights about it, and then saw that really got taken over into a fixation on, and it was just sort of turned in practice, like, okay, how am I going to practice with this?
Yeah.
But it was really just a narrowing fixation.
But, yeah. So the language is, how am I going to practice with this? But the real translation is, how am I going to fixate on this and fix it and really stay stuck in it? That's kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you saw that happening with the big chunk of karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so and it's just so helpful just to remember that that it's all held in that larger container.
Yeah.
And trusting the whole process,
yeah.
Like the whole thing.
Yes,
just trusting the whole thing.
Trusting the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such and relaxing into that. Mm-hmm. Not interacting in an unconscious kind of relaxing, but like. Just the opposite of the fixation,
mm-hmm.
right? We can
mm-hmm.
relax into the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's, as you said, that it's just it had a sense of spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And just a deepening trust.
Yes, yeah.